Now, you've seen many people who do that. You may have even been guilty of it yourself, to the extent that we make the declaration and then proceed to act like a human being. Now, let's see if we cannot take a strong look at ourselves and discover what we truly believe about ourselves. So that if I were to say within myself, I am the child of God, I would like to know that the individual walking out into this world is acting like the child of God. I would like to discover myself in terms of reality instead of pretense. Now, when I say I am the child of God, I must mean that I am not a physical, mortal human being. For we know that the Father did not make the physical, mortal human being. And as long as we put off that understanding and try to pretend that I, a physical self in the flesh, am a physical child of God, we are lying to ourselves. And to be sure that we are lying to ourselves, we need only look at Scripture again. And we come to this very startling statement when Nicodemus says to Christ Jesus, "Well, how can I be born again? How can these things be?" And he is told, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, in that statement, we have a key to many mysteries, to the ultimate purpose of our appearance here, to the fulfillment of everything we have desired and sought, provided we're willing to accept the meaning of it. Not a person's meaning, not a person's opinion, but the meaning given to us by the Spirit. It says emphatically and specifically, so that no human brain can distort it, if you are born of the flesh, you are flesh. And if you are born of the Spirit, you are spirit. And it also says to you, you must be born again, or else you cannot know the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is eternal life. Unless you are born again, you cannot know eternal life. And then you may say, "Well, I'll be born again. I don't have to do anything about it. All I've got to do is live out my life. And then perhaps I'll either reincarnate or I'll be lifted to a higher level." Now, that is turning away from the authority of the Spirit of God in yourself. It says you will not be translated into a higher level unless you be born again. Now, if you are living as flesh, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You cannot be born again from flesh into spirit, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And so as long as you remain as a fleshly human being, even if you are reborn or reincarnated, you will be reborn to the flesh. Flesh is flesh, and spirit is spirit. They are not interchangeable. Flesh does not become spirit. Spirit does not manifest as flesh. So we face the scripture, and it says to me, it says to you, it says to him, it says to her, if you are walking this earth as a fleshly human being, you will not know the kingdom of God. To be born again, you must leave the flesh. You cannot linger in the belief of flesh. Now we know from yesterday's experience that a great deal of fear was engendered in this world, and many of those who feared include those who believe in Jesus Christ. You may be sure that congregations all over the world who express their deep belief in Jesus Christ also experience some measure of fear at the detonation of a 5-megaton bomb. The belief was that a bomb is injurious to the flesh, that a bomb can make you suffer, cause pain, even end your human life. Now, you cannot believe in Jesus Christ and protect your human flesh from a bomb. There are many who believed that way and have found it was of no value. There are many boys on the battlefields who believed in Jesus Christ but never came home. And we know that radiation from a bomb, heat from a bomb, devastation from a bomb, is certainly not going to be a respecter of one who believes in Jesus Christ. We know that simply from observation. We know that you must go deeper than the belief in a human or a divine personality. But you must be born again means that if you have the experience of fear about a bomb, it is because you have a lingering belief that you are not the child of God, but rather the child of flesh. So the question is put to you very forcibly: are you flesh or are you spirit? And are you willing to face that issue? Now, before you make up your mind, even though you may have thought you were spirit, look about your life and decide for yourself if you have been acting like the Spirit of God. We know the human mind plays many tricks upon us. It does not know God in the slightest. It does not live in a spiritual universe. It knows its own creation. And so yesterday, the world mind dropped a bomb somewhere. And then it broadcast what it had done to every little mind that was glued into it. And each little mortal mind believed what the world mind had done. And all of this happened where? In the universe of God? In your spiritual universe? Or in the universe of flesh? You see, flesh and matter are identical. They mean exactly the same. In the universe of matter, we will take the word flesh to extend beyond human flesh to the flesh of a tree, the flesh of the ground, the flesh of the sky, the flesh of the world. I, says the Spirit, have overcome the world of flesh, of matter. Now, the child of God is not one who fears flesh. Not one who was even concerned about flesh. Not one who was concerned about a bomb here or a bomb there, or about anything that happens in the mind of the world. Can you imagine if Nicodemus had said to Jesus Christ, "I understand tomorrow they're going to detonate a bomb out there in the Aleutians. What are we going to do about it?" The answer would have been the same. "Well, Nicodemus, you must be born again." "But how will that help me?" "Well, there are no bombs in the kingdom of God. There are no tidal waves. There are no diseases. There are no problems or limitations. There is no incompleteness of any kind. There is only life eternal." "Well, where is that kingdom?" "Right where you are. Is not God present? Is not God in God's kingdom? Is not the kingdom of God within you? And what does that mean, that God is in the kingdom of God within you, but that the Spirit of God is your being? And that makes you the child of God, the living Spirit of God, the light of God. And every tremor that we feel about world catastrophes is an indication that we have not yet accepted our identity as that living child. We still believe this body of flesh that appeared on earth at a certain time in a certain place is the one we are. And so the trick of the mind continues. It glues you in to a body of flesh, even though you ultimately learn that God did not create the body of flesh. And so we have duality. We have a self which is completely mentally created. It has nothing to do with God's creation. And while we say we are the child of God, we're perfectly happy to live in a second or fleshly creation that is healthy and happy, reasonably secure. The only time we worry is when we lose something we think that fleshly body needs. The housing of it, the status of it, the support of it, the protection of it, the image that it shows forth to the world around us. These are the things that worry us while we're saying, "I am the child of God." Now, to be born again is to step out of personal sense. We know that the flesh dies. We know that flesh is nothing but dying matter. And when you reach the mental maturity, let alone the spiritual maturity, which can see that flesh is dying matter, and you're given the insight to learn how to step out of that tomb into life, into being, into spiritual identity through the process of rebirth, we no longer put it off, but rather we face it, and we see that there is the only answer to the bomb, the tidal wave, the ravages of time. There is no other answer but to be born again. And because being born again does not mean to come back in another form, but rather to be born to that which you ever was, that which you ever were before the beginning of the world, to be reborn to your spiritual identity is the meaning of being born again. To drop that which you had thought you are, and to accept that which the authority of spirit says you are. Now, the kingdom of God is life without end. And the only way to know life without end is to be reborn to spiritual identity. And that means there's a time within your consciousness when you accept this as a reversing of all that you had believed. When you empty out the mind which lingers in the belief of human birth, human growth, human concepts, which believes in a life in a fleshly form, and you renounce that belief. The child of God does not live in a fleshly form. And so if you wish to continue living in one, it would be wise for you not to pretend to yourself that you are the child of God, because there is a rude awakening. On the other hand, if you would rather walk this earth as the child of God, the voice of Spirit says, drop the belief in mortality. Drop the belief in a fleshly body. And learn the truth that the flesh is not of the Father. And as long as you live in it, you are not governed by the Father. Now I hope the class is at the point where we have all made our decision one way or the other. I either continue in a body of flesh, knowing full well that this is not under the government of God, is not a creation of God, is not sustained by God, and I take my chances on the good and the evil of this world. At least you know that. Or you go the other way, I shall be born again. My rebirth, however, will not be after death. It will be here and now. While appearing in this world, while appearing in the flesh, here and now shall I be reborn of the Spirit. And the authority of Spirit will be the light, the way, that I follow. This rebirth, then, is the rebirth to a higher consciousness, out of the consciousness of the material mind, out of the consciousness of that mind which trembles at the bomb, that mind which knows that there is good and evil, even though the Father says there is neither good nor evil. That mind which reacts to evil, that mind which recognizes evil, although the only place it can ever appear is in the flesh. All evil appears in matter. There is no other place where you will find it. And matter is not the creation of the Father. And so now in our more advanced consciousness, instead of reacting to the evil which appears in matter, we recognize the non-existence of the matter in which the evil appears. We're not in the slightest bit concerned about the evil, because the only place it can appear is in matter. And the child of God recognizes no material universe. The child of God is not persuaded by the mind that matter, which was not created by God, is present. The child of God walks consciously in spirit, as spirit, letting Christ, the Spirit of God realized, live my life. The clear issue is reincarnation or rebirth. The difference being that reincarnation is into form, and rebirth is out of form. Be born again means, if you wish to translate, out of form, into that life which knows no end, you must accept God as your Father now. And because that which is born of God is divine, that which is born of Spirit is Spirit, if God is your Father now, God being Spirit, that must be who you are. Because God is not flesh, and that which is born of flesh is flesh. If you are flesh, born of flesh, you are saying God is not your Father and you are not the child of God. The issue should be clear. And so Nicodemus, for us, fulfills a purpose. He represents all of us, and he is learning, though he is hesitant, though he is undecided, though he comes by night, which represents his state of indecision, as all of us do who declare, I am the child of God, but are unwilling to live as the child of God, as Spirit itself. And so we too, in a way, come by night in our spiritual darkness. We're willing to accept all of the treasures of the kingdom, but not be that son which is heir to those treasures. Now let us see that between you and the bomb, there are two different worlds. You are not in the same world with the bomb. There is no bomb in the kingdom of God. You are not in the same world with disease. You are not in the same world with any form of incompleteness. Or if you are, you are not in your true identity. We turn now to what is a child of God. What consciousness would you find yourself in if that were the identity you had been accepting and living in? Your eyes are material. The child of God has no material eyes. Those eyes, which are material, not spiritual, cannot reveal to you the kingdom of God. And so the child of God does not live by what the eyes see. And in our transition from the material consciousness which sees with eyes to the spiritual consciousness which sees with the soul, you are looking at everything with eyes, but questioning what you see with another quality, and taking everything in the visible back into the invisible, so that you're looking for the spiritual truth behind the material form. You're never taking everything at face value. Your ears are physical. The child of God has no physical ears. The child of God hears within. And therefore, in your transitional consciousness, you're hearing things, but you are going back beyond what your ears hear to the spiritual truth which is being counterfeited by the spoken word. Everything in your life is traced into the invisible. If a letter comes in the mail, you go back into the invisible to feel the nature of the truth which sent that visible letter to you. You begin to probe the invisible, the spiritual essence of all things, until you feel the miracle of the invisible being counterfeited in the visible. You consciously look to the invisible in all things for the source. You are looking only to God as source. And because God is source, you're not living in cause and effect. All cause for you is in the Spirit. Perfect Spirit, means perfect effect, and therefore you accept no effect in the outer world which is not perfect. If it's imperfect, it was not from the Father. It is therefore not there to you. God for you is running a perfect universe here and now. As the child of God, you are accepting only that universe. God as the source, God as the power of it, God as the substance of it, God as the law and action of it. That is the universe in which you live, even though the world walks to a different drum. The child of God sees no evil and sees no good. The child of God sees no opposites. The child of God does not live by a human heart or a human pair of lungs. The child of God does not put his life in a body. The child of God does not have a human life span. The child of God knows that matter is not God's creation and therefore is mental and appears there only as an image in mind without power of its own. And the child of God gives no power to anything of a material nature, regardless of what it is. The child of God says, "My Father is the only being, the only self, the only life, the only law, the only substance. And this world is a counterfeit of my Father." This world, to the child of God, has no reality. Oh, you say, that's impossible. How can I live in this world and walk through a world like this and saying it is unreal? But I take you right back to Scripture. You must be born again. And that birth means you step out of the belief in this world. For this world is flesh, matter. And that which is born of flesh is flesh. And unless you are reborn out of flesh, you will not know the kingdom of God, which is spirit. And so finally, we're at a place where we cannot hem and haw. We are confronted with a fact of life. You either are able to rise out of the belief in the reality of this world or live under the material laws of this world. You cannot serve spirit and this world. You cannot divide. You cannot have a little of both and pretend to be the child of God. Now, it isn't going to be easy from this point on. And it's much easier to go out in the world and let a bomb fall on your head. It's much easier to go into all of the opposites of the world and to live a nice, comfortable life. The child of God is willing to be persecuted in my name. The child of God is willing to be tempted in my name. The child of God is willing to walk in this world, but yet not of it, accepting only the invisible laws that are not known to the mind of man. If you have many dark nights of the soul, you may expect them. But we reach the point of initiation where you go forward the narrow way, or turn around and go out the broad way. You either build your treasures in heaven, or You live in the broad way that leads to that eventual decay of the flesh, which the Bible calls corruption. Are we worthy to walk in the footsteps of such as Paul and John, Peter, Andrew, and the many illumined ones who have followed since then? No one answers this question except you yourself. There certainly is a path for those who wish to walk as the child of God, and it is slowly evolving right before our eyes. Giving us every opportunity to accept or reject. Now comes the hard part. You say, I'm willing to walk as spirit, to reject every belief that there's a power other than a spiritual power. I'll even suffer through the world powers, knowing they aren't there. I can take the arrows and the slings of fortune. I can take the pain. I can take whatever they dish out to me for the simple reason that I am detached from the material world. And then, are you willing to yield your will? Are you willing to turn your will completely over to the Spirit of God in you, which says, my will in you is being done, and though you understand it not, it is fulfilling itself where you are. Can you let personal sense drop? Can you drop ambition? Can you drop human desires? Can you drop everything and rest in the peace of being the child of God? For the ultimate of this experience is to step out of the welter of human thought, out of the conflicting desires of the mind, out of the conflicts of the world, out of all the little human traps that are set for us by our own mind, and to rest in that assurance that where I am, always, the inner will of the Father is expressing, and it is not my function as the child of God to try to influence or change or in any way manipulate that will, but merely to behold its expression, to experience it, to let it live itself. For there is no personal me here, neither as flesh nor as mind nor as body. I am a living soul, not a human mind and a human body. The living soul experienced becomes that child of God which is not in the world of the atom bomb. Which is not concerned about what is going to happen to a human form. And when you are that living soul realized, you will know that the reason you're not concerned about a human form is because in your consciousness of reality, you've reached the place where you've overcome the mental world of form and can see that form has no existence except in the mind of the world. It isn't that you're so brave. It's simply that you see the form is not there. It never was. It could not be there if it had not been created by God. It only exists as part of the cosmic dream. And it must be defended by those who live in the mind, because that mind which defends the form is itself part of the cosmic dream. And so the Spirit says, you've reached that level in your journey where you either come out of the cosmic dream of flesh into the reality of spirit, or you continue to perpetuate the dream by living in it. You can have the unreality of flesh or the reality of spirit, the dream or the reality. But as a human mind, no matter how brilliant, you're in the dream. Only as a living soul are you out of the dream. And the living soul has no fleshly body. Now that's the next consciousness, and it's the only consciousness that does not fear the decay, degeneration, or death of the flesh. It's the only consciousness that can stand in a world of turmoil and confusion and chaos, of hate and greed and disaster, and say, I have overcome that dream. Now, you never thought of yourself as going to be a living soul in this world. You may have thought someday you'd make it into the next as a living soul. But Spirit wisely brings to your attention that if you want to be a living soul in what you have called the next world, you must be a living soul in this world. You must be born again, not after the corruption of the flesh, but before. Now, I can probably count on my 10 fingers the number of you who care to make that particular way your way. I can feel the fear of some who say, I can never do it. And I have talked to those who really have no desire to do it. That wasn't their intention when they came into spiritual work. But there are those whom nothing in this world could sway from that intention. The Spirit has caught them up. They have the assurance and the confidence that because Spirit has spoken in me and through me and to me already, I need no outer authority to tell me who I am and where I'm going. And that's the purpose of this group, to raise up those, to live with those, to walk with those who are going to be this small remnant of truth called living souls on the earth, rather than mortal fleshly beings. And there are those among us who have kept this class together. And there are others around the world, and they are all called the Circle of Christ. Now, those of us who feel the reality of our own soul and know that it is not trembling at the atom bomb, it is not trembling because there's confusion in high places, we are gathered then for the purpose of living out that teaching which the Spirit of Christ brought on earth, teaching here to Nicodemus, teaching through Joel to us. And we are dying daily. that we may live daily. We die to what is not, that we may live in what is. We do not pretend it is an easy way, and sometimes it's not even a very cheerful way. Sometimes it takes all you've got to be able to stand where you know you should. But you see, one day you learn that you must be born again, and 6 days later somebody drops a bomb to tell you to get along and do it a little quicker than you planned. Our timetables are working very well. Now we're beginning to slough off the untruth of our human lives. My mind is beginning to be less and less persuasive. It cannot convince me of sin. It cannot convince me of evil. It cannot convince me of sickness. Why? Because it is hitting a higher level of myself, which says, but sin and evil and sickness are only in matter. Where is there matter? When did God create it? Where did God place matter upon this earth? If the Father himself says, henceforth know ye no man after the flesh. Acknowledge spirit in all thy ways. Love thy neighbor as spirit, as thyself. And I find my wayward mind is beginning to believe these things, beginning to obey, beginning to yield, beginning to lay down its personal sense, willing even to let itself be crucified. Willing to be born of the Spirit, that I may walk in the kingdom of God on earth. Now, laying aside all thought, taking no thought for your body of flesh, as the Master tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, we accept that God is right where I stand. Here is the presence of God, right where the world sees his fleshly body. Here is the Spirit of God. Here is the light of God. It is I. I am acknowledging the light of God here, where the mind sees matter. So I am dying to that mind and being reborn to the Spirit right here. And there the mind sees matter, but I must die to that and be born of the Spirit. So there, where the mind sees a material form, there is the invisible light of the Father. There is Spirit. Now I'm loving my neighbor as myself. Myself is Spirit. And over there, my neighbor is Spirit. But what about those forms? What about my neighbor's form? Well, if spirit is there, is flesh there? If I have them both, I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. Now my mind says they're both there, even though it begrudgingly admits spirit might be there. And finally, I must die to not my neighbor's appearance, I must die to the beliefs of my own mind. Everything out in the world is not what I die to. My only adversary is the belief in my own human mind. That's where my adversary is. That's what I die to. The mind which sees form, which sees matter, which sees condition, which sees the mask of personality. The mind which sees the world. I don't die to the world. I don't die to people. I don't die to things or conditions. I die to the belief in the mind which is projecting this world. I change belief. And this is the changing of consciousness. Right here, where you are, is the change. You don't die to the bomb out there and say it isn't there. You die to the belief in your mind that the bomb is there. You don't die to the disease. You die to the belief in your mind that the disease is there. Why? Because that's the only place these things are, in the world mind. And your mind, glued to the world mind, is simply echoing world belief where you are. That's right. 4 billion people are echoing world belief that a bomb was dropped. And Christ in you says, don't believe it. I have overcome everything in the world, including that bomb. I have overcome every disease in the world. I have overcome the belief in the flesh in the world. Within yourself, you are dying to human belief. And within yourself, you are awakening to Christ I am. This is where the action is. And then out there, your new world will conform to your new consciousness. Until the rising Christ in you will become the flesh of your outer world, and it will be a new kind of flesh. It will be my flesh, my blood. Not the flesh of a human mind, not the blood of a human mind, not the heartbeat of a human mind. But my flesh and my blood, the inner spiritual flesh and blood, will be made into the visible world for you. And you will walk through the bomb, through the disease, through the incompleteness of the human mind, untouched. And this is all part of our rebirth. The self-discipline which dies daily to the beliefs of the mind in a material world. You're dying to those things which were not created by God, not created by Spirit, knowing that everything created by Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say you must be reborn again. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now heaven, the kingdom of God, cannot be risen into except by one who has descended from heaven. And you know no mortal being came from heaven. And so we're being told that mortality can never ascend to heaven. Mortality can never walk in reality. Material mortality can never walk in truth. God being life, material mortality can never walk in life. Now the Son of Man is all who has ascended and descended from heaven. And if you've wondered why the Son of Man is stressed, suddenly it will come clear to you that it is telling you the difference between the Son of Man and the Son of Woman. It doesn't say the Son of Woman has descended and can ascend to heaven. It says the Son of Man. It is telling us that all fleshly birth, because all are born of woman, all fleshly birth is part of the world mind, just as much as an atom bomb. That which is of the flesh is of flesh. That which is born of woman is of woman. It is not the Son of Man. Only that which is reborn of the Spirit is the Son of Man. So the Son of Woman must be reborn of the Spirit. This is no after heaven. This is no after death. This is reborn from the belief in being Son of Woman into spiritual identity, which is Son of Man. Now we're seeing very clearly that if you have not undergone your heavenly birth and are still in your earth birth, you're still the Son of Woman. You're still him or her who cannot enter the kingdom of God. Each from his earthly birth must then be transformed into the Son of Man by a heavenly birth. Out of the belief in matter into the acceptance, not by words alone, but by deeds, by inner acceptance, by a new consciousness of spiritual identity and of a spiritual universe around you. Walking in a spiritual universe while you appear in the world's concept called flesh. You do that as a living soul who has overcome the belief in earthly birth, which was given to us through the conditioned mind, learning to let spirit walk itself for you in the universe with which you are not yet accustomed. Only that self which walks in the spiritual universe can ascend to heaven, for only that self descended from heaven. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Him is the Son of Man in you. Him is spiritual identity. Whosoever believeth in spiritual identity, Christ identity, shall not perish. But you see, whoever does not believe in the Son of Man, in spiritual identity, shall perish. I'm kind of grateful to that bomb. It brings me to the place where I have to make decisions. I can't just slide on and say, well, we'll put it off for tomorrow. Now, it should be clear that the handwriting is on the wall. Man is committed to self-suicide. That's his goal. He doesn't know it. He's going to destroy himself. It's the only way he knows how to live. The mortal mind, which never existed, must ultimately destroy itself in order to find reality. Destruction of mortal mind is what you're witnessing when the bomb falls. Destruction of mortal mind is what you're witnessing every day in a universe that cannot survive because it has no life. The moth goes into the flame and destroys itself. The mortal mind of man will do exactly that. and whoever is in the mortal mind perishes with it. Whoever believes on the Son of Man shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. When you are ready to face facts and not let the mind squirm out of them, it really isn't a difficult thing to accept, and you do it rather joyfully because you are being saved, and that is the meaning of salvation. You are being saved from the suicide of the world mind into life, which is your heritage by divine sonship. Now, you know we've all passed by this. We've all given it lip service. That day is over. The world won't let you pass by. The world is forcing us to walk in the path of spirit or matter. And whoever can see what is happening to matter and understand it and know there is a spiritual way is certainly going to take that way. In our meditation now, before we have an intermission, although you begin with the mind, which ultimately you step out of, that mind is very useful at this point because it brings to you certain levels of truth that are necessary, because they will become permanent qualities of your consciousness, and you will be able through these qualities to boost yourself out of the very mind which is building these qualities in you. And the foundation of truth that we need from the mind, the water, before we enter the state of the spirit, the water of truth must be centered on I am the Spirit of God. That's the glad tiding. That's what you repeat and repeat and repeat until you know it better than your own human name. I am the Spirit of God. Not 99%, all of me. That spirit has no beginning in time and no ending. And yes, I am that spirit which has no beginning in time and no ending. That I am, I am. You live with this. You measure everything that happens to you during the day against this. You're not concerned what the human mind is going to react to. You're establishing a beachhead higher than that mind, which looks at everything that comes into your consciousness that day and weighs it against, I am the Spirit of God which has no beginning in time or end in time. I existed before bombs, I will exist after bombs. I existed before the world, I will exist after the world. I existed before every problem ever arose in this world, and I will exist long after the problems are gone. I am the child of God. I'm not living a human lifespan. That illusion is gone. There's something else here, existent before this span began and existent after this span ends, which is my being. That child of God, here and now, I am. And I'm not waiting for it to become me. It is I. I'm getting my roots in my timeless self. can't break up my spirit into pieces. One piece living 80 years here with an intermission and then another 60 years there with another intermission, that isn't myself. These changing concepts are not going to claim me. There is an undying self behind this form. I claim it, and I live in it consciously.